and welcome to Starter Set. My name, Ed Sylvester. This is...
Ollie, how's it going, Edward?
Hello, Ollie, it's going well. And welcome to the show that rewrites myths and... legends.
Legends.
Oi.
Oh, we were in sync.
No,
well,
that's
done.
Quite good. Hey, Ollie. Good. Yeah. How have you been? Like, it's been a couple of weeks, both D&D and un-D&D. I know you've had some somewhat story-esque action. You've been fucking around with axes, basically.
Right. Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Dungeons & Dragons related, nothing. Oh. I got my first game back is... because we do 2-week mm-hmm. cycles, so it just happened to be 2 weeks from the last one. That is this Friday. Oh, nice. So that should be good. We have a new player, and we lost one of the old players. So they relocated for work, so it's not like they left.
One of those things.
Properly, yeah. Yeah, it's just one of those things. So we got a new player that I haven't played with before, but the others have played with him probably like 2 or 3 sessions now.
Cool.
So, yeah. Axe related stuff. Managed to chop my finger with an axe. Oh, yes. Oh, it was excellent. A little flap of finger is what.
Yeah. Yep. Excellent.
Gross.
To be fair, though.
Oh, Ed, I haven't told you about it, really. I almost fainted.
Oh, yeah. You're not the best with blood, are you, if I remember correctly?
Well, it's not blood. It was, oh, fuck, I think I've cut my finger off. I'm in panic mode, is basically what it was. So, like, the blood wasn't really an issue, but I ran it under the sink, right, and I could hear the bit of flesh flapping back and forth. Sorry. That is really grim. I could hear it flapping, which did set me off a little bit, and I did think that it was a lot worse than it actually is. It's
okay,
fine.
Well, that's good. It's good that you're not losing fingers. I gotta say, I spent a long time last session creating weirdly horrible monsters and things like that, but actually just the idea of hearing a skin flap whilst you're washing it out is kind of up there on the disgusting level, so well done.
Yeah. and then I had to go to the hospital the next morning to get a tetanus jab, but then they basically said I didn't need one, so I wasted like a couple hours waiting in the waiting room. Yeah,
that's annoying. Yeah. Oh well,
but
better safe than sorry.
Yeah, exactly. I'm looking forward to today's session, though. It's been a while, hasn't it? I'm hyped.
Has been a while, yes. And to be fair, you sent me a video of you throwing that axe around.
Yeah.
Yeah, that thing goes.
It does. I was getting, it's called, I can't get a single rotation, right? The axe just, I think it's just too light. It spins too fast. So I go back further.
So just go straight in.
I go back further and throw it a little bit harder and it does a double rotation. And I can get it pretty much every time now, which is good. It's fucking sick, Ed. It's so much fun. I mean, and that's not even the axe that I cut myself with. The other one, that's my big bushcraft axe, which...
Oh, gee, okay, right. Well, you are very fortunate not to have lost a finger.
Yeah, because that's a 1 pound head on that.
Yeah.
It's a heavy thing. Yeah, bounce.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, well. It's funny, isn't it?
It's a story, Ollie. As with all things, stories
I was
useful.
I was hoping it would be a bit worse, to be honest, so I would have a wicked scar, but it seems like it's going to heal quite nicely.
Yeah, and you can't tell people, this is where I cut my finger with my axe doing things.
Yeah.
Oh, that is a shame.
Yeah.
I
What about you then? Tell me, Dungeons & Dragons, life, what's going on in the world of Ed?
So, no D&D, but because it's coming up to Halloween.
Oh, yes.
All Hallows Eve and all that sort of stuff. My role playing things has been linked towards 10 candles.
I don't know what that is. What is that?
That's okay. But 10 candles, and that's usually something that is done on a yearly basis anyway, I've done it for quite a while, is a roleplay game where you, each person that's playing, minus the GM, lights 10 candles, and when the candles go out, or when one candle goes out of your 10 candles, you move the scene on.
Oh.
And it's basically you move the scene on towards what is ultimately like a tragic ending.
Right.
Okay. And because usually you're buying candles that are similar size, so don't buy like one of those massive
Yankee
ones that they do in churches,
yeah,
which are like for 24 hours, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like tea lights. Get a few different tea lights, basically. And as they burn down, the first one goes out and you move your scene along, because the candles also represent your life within game. So when they're all gone, you expire.
Ah, that's quite cool. That's a good thing. Although I suspect there's probably quite a big fire risk.
It gets really warm.
Yeah.
More than we sort of did. First time we played it, we were playing it in a mate's like attic space, and there was no it was fucking boiling, yeah. And we sort of were like, should we get some water? But as we're getting water, like, some of the candles have gone out, so we just shifted it on. But yeah, it's really good, and you generate like secrets per player, and one of the secrets is that you know something about the monsters or the villain or whatever it is, and you can create what that is. So they're like preempted by, I think the first one we ever did is that they were preempted by lightning, a lightning strike,
right,
or like flashes of electricity, and then they would turn up, whatever they are.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Nice.
I like that idea.
Really fun and dramatic one-shot sort of situation. And I think the rules are free, so you can just give that a quick googly Google.
Cool.
So that's our role-playing sort of stuff. And, of course, weekly Lorehammer stream on the old Woofrup. Which was a crazy week, but very, very enjoyable. That's been my 2 weeks role playing and that sort of stuff. It's been good. It's been fun.
Sick.
Nice, easy one. Oh, and I am working on another Blood Bowl team.
Oh, nice. What have you got this time?
Yep. The Necromantic Horror team. Because
zombies? Are they zombies?
So they you have zombie linemen.
Yep.
You have Frankensteins as like big boys, like big punchy people.
Oh, yeah.
Wolves as your sort of wingers.
Yeah.
So your quick attackers and ghosts. And there's only one other thing I'm missing as well, which are ghouls, which are kind of, they're basically zombies, but they're just fast zombies.
Yeah.
They're zombie runners. Apart from that, I'm a little unwell. Hopefully it's not the big C.
Yeah.
As in COVID, not cancer.
Yeah. We've had, you know, a bit of that around the place recently here.
So you will have to bear with me re-coughing. And speaking of which, and coughing, and all those bits and bobs, and bearing with me, shall we crack on with today's episode?
Yep, I've got my horn here, hopefully.
Oh, lovely stuff. Blow the horn, Ollie.
Get it well done. Let's go. Shit.
What is happening?
Why? I did it so well earlier. Right. Right, let me try again.
Yeah, you gotta keep going. Awful. Sort of got there in the end.
Sort
I think that's fine.
There.
That'll do.
Yeah, fucking hell.
Alright, so the fire is lit and there are stories to tell.
Yep.
Fuck me. Alright. So, Normander, we join yourself and the rest of your party in the dream world, the dreamland, the space between the, well, where you last week had an interaction with a nightmare.
Yeah. Fucking weird thing that was.
Yeah, a lot of fun. I enjoyed that a lot, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed that a lot.
And I left you with a choice, Ollie, because Cald has told you that points of power within the real world kind of cross over between realms. And he's pointed you out this big greenish sort of signal light that you've been travelling towards.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult to tell distance between things, but as we left last week's episode, there was a secondary light somewhat to the left of you that appeared on the horizon. It's a much fainter one and sort of difficult to initially make out, but sure enough, there are two points of green light sort of checkpointing you.
Yes, I will head towards the one that Cald pointed out.
Your secondary one?
No, the first one, the big one.
Okay, first one, excellent.
Bigger light, better award, hopefully.
Nice, I like the thought process. Whether that's true, we'll find out, won't we?
Yeah.
So we shift through, and I'm going to fast forward this journey somewhat, because there is the world that we're in and the space that we're in is somewhat unchanging. There is always that kind of miasmic flux to everything, that swirling mists, and occasionally you see different figures and things like that, and you now know probably not best to kind of touch them or interact with them physically. All right, so knowing this, you make your way across without any real issue. The trip takes maybe another day and a half. Actually, if you could roll a wisdom check for me, please, Ollie, just to see if you kind of can keep your internal clock going.
Terrible. 3.
Okay.
The wisdom, not the wisdom, the journey takes an amount of time. However much it is, you're not entirely sure. The only thing that kind of gives you any sort of clock is your need to occasionally stop for a bit of food and to go through some rations. You have plenty of this on you. There's no issue on there because we're not running that sort of game. Yep. Side note, if, and this is more of a D&D advicey sort of thing, there is definitely a place for those games where you track your food and things like that. And those games are really going to be ones where you are spending... It's about surviving. It's not about adventuring. The adventure is the survival itself. So places like the Dark Sun campaign, where you're in a lot of the time you're in a sort of blasted desert wasteland, anything that's a bit sort of Conan-esque kind of thing, and food being hard to find is actually part of the thing rather than the adventure. So, and the thing, I'll tell you the reason why, and it's two spells. It's Good Berry and it's Create Food and Water, because as soon as you generate and have those spells within a campaign, those things, in terms of being hungry, become pointless.
Become pointless, yeah. I totally agree.
Anyway.
They ruin everything.
Yeah, it's if you make it part of the game, that's cool, but make sure that people know about it beforehand and can plan it into it, basically. Because, yeah, spending money on food and drink is boring. Because we do it in our real world, basically. Asking for food and drink is fun, because you know how I like to talk about food and drink when it comes to weird RPGs and stuff like that. So go, like, describe whatever miraculous sort of Peter Pan-esque... do you remember that scene from Hook?
I remember the movie. Which scene?
The scene where they eat the imaginary food.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And they're all in Pan's lair, aren't they?
Yeah. That food. Describe that food. That food looks absolutely insane. I mean, it's probably like Play-Doh, realistically, but it looks great. I love that food. That's, yeah, one of the best depictions of sort of magical and imaginary magical food, because it is imaginary.
Imaginary food, yeah.
Right, carrying on. You get to sort of three or four meals pass, and you finally get to the position where the light, as you've been getting towards it, has been slowly but surely becoming more and more focused. And even up to the final few yards of you walking, it kind of focuses down and becomes more concentrated and concentrated and concentrated until basically it stands in front of you, maybe about 15 foot high.
Okay.
And about 20 to 25 foot wide, this sort of gap. Mm. It's not specifically like shaped in terms of like a square, because as soon as I start using metrics like the height and width, it sounds square-like, but just a sort of a ripple within the otherwise very featureless landscape. And as you've been walking, you know, the one that's off to your left has been more obvious, become more obvious and more concentrated. Right. Nothing like you see in front of you, but still, there has been an increase still. There.
Right. Okay, so how did we get through last time? Cloud kind of helped me rip it open, didn't he? Cloud, I want to get out of here. Please. Let's do the same thing as before.
Oh, you want to go through? Yeah. I don't think it's going to be that much of an issue, because getting in's a problem, because otherwise people would just walk in all the time, you know what I mean? Well, yeah. I'd say that. I mean, kind of that's from my understanding of this world based upon my understanding of how we get over to your world. I don't know. Basically, if I want to come over to your side, it ain't that hard, you know?
Mm.
But if you guys want to come into my world, well, you guys ain't never there. Well, nah, there's been a couple of times, but they were sort of special occasions. You guys don't come into my place, you know what I mean?
Okay. Can you try and look through this? Like, how would you do it?
Oh, yeah, no, it don't work like that. You can't just, like, stick your head through. It's kind of a transcension, so you make contact, and then it's just all of you kind of taken, you know what I mean?
Okay, right.
Well, I think.
Okay, sure. Well, look, you know more about this kind of stuff than I do, so... Everybody hold hands, and we're going to jump through.
Neohad's long-fingered, sort of claw-like hand wraps around yours.
Gross.
Feels distinctly uncomfortable.
Yep. Look at him with utter distaste.
We're going through, then?
Yep. Mm. Don't ever touch me again. Let me jump.
Nice. So you make contact, holding out a hand or taking a step through. It is a whirlwind of sort of sensual assault, let's say. Like, you go from loads of different flashes of colour to just black, to then more colour, to silence, to like a loss of sound rather than a silence, to blaringly... over the top, just noise, like white noise, pink noise, all the sorts of noises that you possibly think, like conversation, music, caunt glimpses and whispers of times and things gone. It is a bombardment, to say the least. But
right.
The bombardment ends. And you feel... It's interesting. You didn't notice it while you were there. And you sort of didn't really notice it while you were near Neohads. But there was such little air movement. It was stale almost. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But now that you have stepped back into your world, back into our world, to the Whale Road, wherever you are on this journey... Now that you're here, you kind of realise that you hadn't been fully breathing, let's call it that.
Okay.
In the old place. Like you could breathe and there was no problem with it. But it's almost like the air that you were breathing or your breath was... You were sustained.
Right. Any... What are we seeing?
Mm. So stepping out from this one, you step out onto a hillside. It's nighttime. Stars, festoon the sky, and the moon shines distinctly bright. Bright enough that you can see relatively well. It's one of those ones where there's so much sort of passive light around you.
Yeah.
That you can make out quite a lot.
Yeah.
You can see the different shapes in the clouds as they pass over different stars, and they're sort of highlighted slightly thanks to the silvery moonlight. The hillside that you stand upon is maybe about 100 metres up.
Okay.
It's quite a tall hill.
Yeah.
And it continues behind you. You're sort of stepped out on a flat portion, which continues up as a slope and then continues also down below you.
Okay, anything above or below me?
Thank you for asking, Ollie.
Any signs of civilization?
First thing you notice, and this is another reason why you have a reasonable amount of light, at least for your area or for what you can see, is, and this is maybe about half a mile away, on another sort of raised lump of earth, poking through treetops, because below you at the bottom of this hill is forest, and even somewhat partway up this hill is forest. The forest is thinner up here, but there are trees and there are scrubland and bushes and things. And
yeah.
You also hear things. So what you see is you see a fire. You see firelight that is casting shadows across the tops of trees. What you hear is chanting in a guttural tongue, chanting that does not sound pleasant. They're part of your cultural piece back at the village. There are chants, there are sing-songs, there are celebrations. That
is it in common?
No, this chanting is not in common at all. And you can see the firelight on those hills is framed perfectly well through a henge, standing stones, just at the top, at the peak. Could you do a quick perception check, please, Ollie? Because that's the easy stuff.
Yeah. You little bastard. Actually, no, that's not you. Perception is 17. 13 plus 4.
17. Enough to hear the slight rustle of leaves and click of a twig being broken. Enough to pinpoint what's done that rustle, and to hear and to see in the direction of the twig being snapped. And thanks to the moonlight, because if it wasn't sort of this bright out this evening, you probably wouldn't have clocked this individual. But thanks to the moonlight, you see, well, you've seen them before. You see a giant Kinnolly.
Okay.
Different build to the ones that you've met. Again, because you've met basically these big kind of loping, slack-jawed yet broad giant kins, warriors who basically attack your village. And you've also met Kagog, who, for lack of a better term, has the proportions of sort of a normal person, but just maybe times sort of 1.5.
Right.
In terms of height and physicality.
Yeah. Is this guy is he stalking us?
Well, he has longer limbs, so his arms kind of reach down to just to his knees, and which is impressive because his legs are longer than his body shape should be. You know what I mean? Like almost looks slightly spider-like in terms of the comparative size of body to limbs. He's not stalking you because he's starting to almost immediately make a move towards, well, he's starting to run, Ollie. is what he's starting to do.
Towards us or away from us?
Not towards you, away from you.
Now,
you got two options here.
Yeah.
Do you want to do a dexterity check to see a reaction, so how quickly you react, or do you want to do an insight check to give you an idea of what his thoughts and overall target may be?
They're both pretty good. I'll do an insight check, I think.
Okay.
Okay, 9 plus 7, 16?
16, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Quite possibly, knowing that Kagog theoretically has potentially used this same way of travel, same mode of transportation, this giant kin is a guard, or a scout, or somebody to keep watch, and they are running, Ollie. They are running to potentially raise an alarm.
Okay, I would like to call out in the one phrase of Giantkin that I know. Je m'appelle. I've forgotten the rest of it. How do I say my name is? Oh, wait, no, wait, that is my
name. That's it.
Oh, bonjour, even. Je m'appelle Normanda.
Right, excellent. When have we established that giants speak French? Or are we just running with
first,
that now?
The first time. That's the one phrase of giant that Normanda knows that doesn't sound anything like any other giant saying, but that's what it is.
That's what it is. I love
it. They speak French.
Great. Well, the good news is that calling gives him a moment of pause. Nothing, not too much, like he literally kind of just sort of half turns to kind of look back towards you guys. But you can tell very quickly that there is no intent to stop.
Okay.
What you do have, however, is sort of seeing your clumsy attempt at giant speech. Neohad steps up. And he begins to basically call out in near perfect giant speech to this chap, this runner. I'm going to make a roll to see if he... Well, you don't understand what he said, but you presume that he's having a communication. The giantkin stops running.
Ooh. Okay, come on, let's go, Neohad, my boy.
And, yeah, interesting. So the giantkin stops running, and Neohad is sort of, not yammering, it's a clipped sort of tongue. It is slightly musical, but musical in the same way that drums are somewhat musical. Like, it's very solid on each syllable. And it sounds rounded.
Right.
Do I
recognize anything from the tiny bit of giant cane, giant speech?
Not from what you know. There's, very little, I'm afraid. One of Neohad's abilities is he can speak the old languages, which is one of them is giant.
Okay, you still need to send me his character.
I know, I've just realised I haven't done that. I really do need to do that. Anyway, the forest around you kind of listens in, same as yourself, mirroring you, and you see Cald kind of popping his head and turning his ear to us slightly, and you see Atcha, like, unsure of what to do, but she's ready to, like, she's clutching her club, ready to kind of go if she wants to.
Yeah.
Cal kind of goes, Bass, I don't know. I ain't entirely sure, because he's been around these things for quite a while. But either that he's trying to, like, I think, convince that we're friends, or say that he is a friend. I don't kind of get it right now. But what do you want to do?
Let's look as least intimidating as possible. So I'll put my spear on my back and my shield away, and I'll kind of put my hands up.
And okay.
Want to maybe sit on the floor?
Atcha does something similar. So puts her club to the, like, hooks it up on a belt loop, kind of crosses her arms, doesn't sit on the floor.
Maybe I'll make a gesture for them to, like, come back, like, beckoning them back.
Neohad is still, it's like kind of like, and in his like weird voice, it's kind of weird as well, because it's like it's a lot of ets kind of things.
Yeah.
And kind of thing.
With the occasional je m'appelle in the.
Yeah, occasional yeah. Bonjour. Anyway, the giant kin shifts. Sort of stance, looks less kind of like I need to fucking run, and more relaxed. Okay. Neohad turns good. To yourselves and says, he'll they'll let us approach if needed.
Okay. I will walk forward, and if Atcha follows me, tell her to wait and just bring Neohad and myself and leave Atcha and Cloud kind of up on the hill a little bit.
Yeah, okay. You sure you don't want us to come along?
You can come down in a minute. I'm only taking Neohad because he can translate. But
okay, we'll wait. We'll wait here for yourself.
Yeah, the least intimidating approach. I don't want him to run away.
Sweet.
Okay.
All right. So you, Neohad, and this lanky giant kin basically walk down into the delve of the forest. When you get under the eaves, it becomes a lot darker, and you kind of recognize how much the moon was casting a light across the land for you, because the trees begin to block it out. You feel the crunch of dead leaves underneath your feet, but the floor of the woods smells rich, smells like new life. Of course, when you left on this journey, it was somewhat wintry time.
Mm. Oh no!
Anyway,
how much time has passed? Am I, like, would I know that I'm back in the normal realm, or are we in Giantkin realm?
You know that you're in the normal realm. That's not questionable.
We're back in the normal
Going
realm.
Going to where you went was, like, even if you just did that and survived, this would be a...
better place.
This would be an adventure... Or even if you've done it and died, this would be an adventure worthy of being written down and passed along to many.
Okay.
Just going to a new realm.
Yeah.
A lot of what you've done is extraordinary. Well, extraordinary for most. For a Kenner and those stories that are associated to them, everybody's kind of like, all right, yeah, you've got your stories and they sound the way that they sound, but... They could be absolutely balmy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay. Right. So, following this giantkin into the forest, right?
Uh-huh.
What, you know, is he leading us a specific way, or is he just taking us kind of into more cover?
He seems to know where he's going, and you even can tell quite easily, no need for a survival check or anything like that. Like, he's sticking to a path because it's worn somewhat more flat, and there is less undergrowth that you're going through. I do have a question for you, Ollie.
Yeah.
Where is your craft at the moment?
What do you mean?
the craft of Wayland. You have the eye.
Oh, I can't remember actually.
So I think it's with you.
I think it is with me.
Okay, that's fine. I just
want
to know.
I'm pretty sure it is with me. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And I don't have it in a cage anymore, in a box anymore. So no. It will be a full strength signal.
Yep. No reason why I need to know that.
Of course.
You get to the bottom of the hill that we mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
And you can feel it's steep. It's bizarrely steep. You know. Usually when you get into a hill or a mountainous area, there's usually a little bit of a give to it beforehand, where something has forced itself up into out of the crust of the earth and all that sort of stuff, and it's grown somewhat naturally. It's flat, and then it is immediately at a considerable angle that goes up at this moment in time in terms of this hill. And you can hear more of that kind of whooping and hollering. The feeling, and you'll only know... Actually, could you do me a legend check, please, Ollie?
Yeah. 12.
Okay. It's not amazing. You'll probably feel some of it. So as you step up and you almost take like a step over a threshold maybe or something, stepping onto this hillock, your feeling changes. It becomes... The world around you becomes different. Shadows that kind of cling in a natural way. Even as you look out to the other side, the shadows look wrong there. There is no moon. The moon itself that was providing a relatively nice silver bathing, and you could still see it sort of cutting through trees, is gone. Or if it is there, it's somewhere else, or it's providing a different level of light. And the air tastes thick. It tastes like tar. Like, it seems thick in your lungs.
Is it like a magical essence, or, you know, like mystical? I suppose that would be what the legend check.
Yeah, it is. It would have been. That's the effect. That's what you're feeling.
Right. While we're walking, like from the beginning, can I be getting what's his chops? I've forgotten his name.
Neohad?
Neohad, yeah. To be asking the Giant King, like, what are we doing? Where are we going?
He says he is taking us to see those leaders.
Okay. What do I have in my bag? Let me check. I want to see if I have anything that can kind of help with this. I've got rope, don't I?
Yeah, most of the time people have rope, at least 50 foot.
I would like to tie, you know, I don't know, I didn't realise we were walking through the forest when I told Atra and Cloud to stay there. I'd like to leave some kind of trail, maybe cutting little flakes of rope off.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit like, you know, Hansel and Gretel type jazz.
Yeah.
And I'll make it like, as we walk into the forest, I'll cut like a big load off and like make it pretty obvious to Atra and Cloud that, you know, I'm following, like, follow these.
Yeah, sure.
Just so they have some kind of idea.
Okay.
And then I'm just kind of... I'll try and keep it a bit stealthy from the bloke.
If you could do a stealth check then, please,
yeah,
Ollie.
Yeah.
Or sleight of hand. It's probably the same.
Oh, that's not bad. It's an 18 on the natural roll. Stealth is plus 6, sleight of hand is plus 3. So over 20, both of them. 20, 21 or 24.
Sleight of hand, whichever one that one is.
21.
21. Okay, still, it's amazing. It's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do what you were trying to do. No problems there.
Perfect. Yeah, and then I'll just try and get as much information from the Giantkin as possible through questions.
Yeah, I'll tell you what then. Give me two. So you've asked where he's taking you. You got two other questions, Ollie.
Okay. Who is your leader? What's their name? And thirdly, what can we call you?
Okay, cool. So answer to question two, translated through Neohad. He says the leader is... it doesn't give a name. It's Dancer? Something similar to that, maybe?
Okay.
Speaker, dancer.
If I say the word, what is his name? If I say,
who are you after, Ollie?
Wait there, I've got it here. I'm just being stupid. If I say Kagog's name.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any reaction?
Do an insight check, please, Ollie.
Yeah. I don't want to get jumped. Oh, that's fucking great as well. 16 plus 7. Oh, baby, like 25, something like
25,
that.
25, okay, 25. As Neo has kind of done this translation... And it kind of gets through when you say the word, like, Kagog, like, with a question mark. You see the other giant king, the lanky one, kind of just take a moment, like a little pause, like his gait pauses just for a moment, and he looks at you very slightly. It gives you just a little bit of side eye.
Yeah.
And the giant's name is... Let's just quickly make one up.
Sorry.
Here we go. Steeron.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Steve then.
Steeron.
Right, Steeron.
Correct. And it's always been that.
Steeron from day one.
Yes. Right.
Okay. I would like to be prepared. But not like fully armed, you know?
Yeah.
Like casual, but... You know, I'm not going to get... I'm aware of my surroundings.
Cool. Okay, casually aware.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, then you are very casually aware as you make your way up the side of this hill. You have to take it, like, walking sideways almost, rather than straight up, because it is that steep. Cresting it, it takes the wind out of you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Cresting the hillside.
Hill.
Say again?
I said it's a steep hill then.
Yeah, very steep.
Okay, cool.
You're met with a much clearer vision of what you saw out earlier. And that feeling of shadows clinging and air being thick is intensified tenfold. Where the air was thick, now it feels noxious. It's sort of choking almost. And the shadows, well, there is a fire here, and you saw it from a distance, but the fire does not burn like orange and whites and blues that we would expect from a normal fire. Here it burns with white, black, and grey. The fires, and there's four of them, four lit fires that cast an unearthly sort of shadow, unnatural, but it's a shadow light. And it casts it in the centre of a ring of standing stones, a henge where rock has been placed upon rock, and there are almost doorways at each point of the compass. You don't know if they point to each point of the compass, but they stand there, four of them, with several others kind of scattered around either side.
Are we in a valley, or are we on top of the hill now, aren't we?
You're on top of the hill that you saw. And with a quick look back, you're pretty sure you know where you kind of came out, maybe, yeah. But it's distorted like anything. Like, it's like trying to look at something through curved glass.
Yeah.
There are moments where it looks like the right distance, and there are other moments where it looks like just something else entirely.
And they're still chanting?
Oh, yeah. They're chanting.
Niohad, can you just translate what they're saying so I know?
So, kind of. It's, I'm not really sure. It seems something different.
Hmm. Okay.
Well, look, Ollie, let me tell you who this and what this black-grey fire illuminates in this circle.
Yes, please.
In the centre of this chanting mass, and it is a mass, the top of this hill is not, it's not like a little sort of small platform. It's quite expansive, maybe the size of a good sort of how long would I put this? About 50 feet circular at the tip top.
Yeah.
And there are giantkin here, and they are varied, much more varied than you're used to. And you may be thinking, well, your experience of Giant King and has been these one types, right? The ones that that attacks your village, the grey skinned, the gravestone slab teethed, huge individuals with just massive barreled bodies and huge arms, and they are here, and you do see about eight of them.
Do I see anyone I recognise? Do I see Kegog?
Recognition comes easy, because the last time you saw this person, well, the last thing you saw of this person was their cloak rushing to meet you.
Yeah.
And you felt it clip you the back of the head, because Kegog stands somewhat central to this mass. And he spins, and you understand now, Dancer.
Oh, fuck, I should have God damn it. I should have realised that. I don't know why I rolled then, but...
There are also, around you, giant kin of different shapes and sizes. There are a few similar to... Maybe five similar to this lanky one that's sort of brought you up here. Big, long legs, long arms, facially kind of extended, and a sort of slack-jawed expression.
Mm.
There are also... and this... Oh, yeah, I forgot about this as well. There are also sort of smaller ones. Giant kin that look almost human-sized. And you would maybe think that they would be children of these giant kin. However, you notice that a couple of them have facial hair, full beards, some of them. But these ones, instead of having that sort of like grey, dead-eyed look, their eyes are a glowing reddish color. They stand like humans but somewhat hunched, and their feet are stumped like an elephant's foot.
Yeah,
the hands normal, but their feet stumped. Edward, for these ones, these smaller ones, there's about 12 of them around.
Yeah, I would like to quickly do, just as I'm walking up, just do a quick subtle omens.
Yeah, sure. That sounds like a good idea. Yeah, do a quick
as I'm walking, just...
Yeah, because you've had a couple of days' journey, you've rested, that's fine. Go for it.
Just two runes that I'm going to throw. One says run, one says stay, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to ask if I should run or stay.
Well, it's you ask one course of action...
Oh.
And you get, that's a good idea, or that's a bad idea, or...
Oh, fuck.
Middling.
Should I continue on this path?
Nice. Okay. so you somewhat cut. I don't know how you're going to do this, like to cast it or anything like that. Maybe,
whichever. It kind of like, you know, when we were in school and we would have the like yes or no rubber, like a razor.
Yeah. Like a coin toss.
Like a coin toss. Yeah, like
a coin toss.
The gods will decide which.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
You flick it high, and you don't even have to like look at it because you've messed around with this particular rune for so much, as it's a binary one. It's almost like one that's played with, and you can feel it. Should you continue with this? Probably not.
Whoa
comes back to you, and it's not like all. Usually, sometimes you have to look and figure it out. This one is hardcore saying, don't fucking continue on this, okay. Or if you do, it's a bad idea.
Okay, instantly turn around, bolt, both of us, straight away. Full dash, double dash, gone.
Okay, so here's the thing, Ollie. As you turn and run,
yep.
From your position, Neohad calls out, and he calls out in Giantish. And you don't understand much of it, but you understand the word Kagog, because you've heard Kagog.
Yeah.
And you also understand that he says Gogamog three times in his calling out. And he stops and he points at you.
Is he a motherfucking traitor?
As you start to run.
Can I stab him as I run past?
You're legging it already, Ollie. Like you
bitch, man. I want to kill that guy so much right now.
The top of the, do you know what, you've just, I'm gonna tell you after this how that could have played out, by the way.
Run it, that's a sacrifice. I'm getting my guts ripped out of me, slaughtered to the gods.
You've saved some things from happening.
Okay, thank fuck, right.
The other thing, a quick perception check actually, because you obviously had this and you're running, so you might not be able to get all the information from this area.
Sure.
So I'm...
Natural 20. I know everything.
Right. as you're turning, you can see them. You can see where Kagog was dancing, and he turns, and as Neohad calls out and points to you, you can see past his cloak just for that moment. There's four items that sit on a plinth.
Oh, motherfucker. Right.
Four items. Four crafts of Wayland.
Oh my god.
And then you're running.
Yeah. Fucking hell, that's all they need, isn't it? They only need my eye, and then they're done.
You are running.
Yeah.
And the forest around you explodes in activity and yelling. You are tearing it down there. I need you to make so many dexterity saves.
Oh my god. Fucking hell. I'm sweating, Edwin. I'm sweating.
So, first, down the hill. Down the hill is terrifying because of how steep it is.
Okay. Come on, dice. Don't fail me now. That's fucking good. 19 plus... Wait, 19. Dexterity? Plus 6.
Okay.
25. First one.
Excellent. So down good. The hill, because that was the most difficult part of this, as you run down the hill, and you feel like the bottoms of the of your boots kind of being clutched at by the shadows that are linked in with the grass. There are moments where you swear that trees bend towards you to grab you. You even see to your right, you see one of the clubbed foot, the smaller ones, kind of coming round into the edge of your vision, and you can hear behind you just tearing into the forests the continual movement of just a collection of people or giantkin running for
fucking
you.
Christ.
You are the target. You are the prey, and they are the hunters at this moment in time.
Okay, I am
get to
screaming. I am yelling for Atcher and Cloud to fucking go. It's a trap. Fucking
you get to
bolt.
The bottom of the trees. And you slam into the side of a trunk. That's kind of pauses you for a moment to kind of reestablish your where you're going. I want to, because that kind of stops your movement just as you're doing it. I want you to make a what are we thinking in terms of navigation? What was that sort of stuff usually like? Survival, I suppose. Quick survival check, please,
yeah,
Ollie.
Sure. Not as good. 11 plus 4, 15.
Okay. That's fine. You quickly gather yourself and run in the direction that you think is that where Cald and Atcha will be waiting for you. Your shouts are somewhat muffled because behind you there is many roars of pursuit.
How close are they behind me?
That's a great question. As, oopsie daisy, okay, as two large rocks that just seemingly have been pulled out of the ground and thrown in your direction crash into the trees either side of you. I rolled dubby fives on that, so okay, you're very good. Fortunate.
Yeah.
One literally smashes into a sapling that was in front of your pathway, and it just shatters as if exploding from the inside. Another one kind of rolls to the right of you. You still tearing it through the forest. Could you make another dexterity check, please, Ollie?
Yep.
As you stay ahead of this baying collection of creatures.
That's good as well. 16 plus 6. That's even better. Okay. Is that even better? I don't even know. Whatever that is. 16 plus 6. 22.
Still very good. Your lungs just burning as you just choke down oxygen as much as you can, and you get that air and you can feel it now. That oiliness, that thickness in the air isn't just on top of that hill. It's permeating the entire area. It was just being masked. And the shadows that are clinging around you, it's tough. It's tough going running, but you manage to just keep your legs absolutely pumping like nobody's business. You manage to find the trail that you were brought here upon. And you snatch a look behind you, and you wish you hadn't. Because behind you, you can see those red eyes, the glowing eyes of those smaller ones. And then you just look up ever so slightly, and you can see, sort of swinging from the trees, those long, gangly motherfuckers,
fucking
basically.
Fucking lemurs. Lemur giant kin. Fuck yeah, those guys. Oh, shit.
One of them swings towards you, releases from there, and goes to kind of tackle you to the ground. You maybe got two more checks, Ollie. This is one of them.
Okay.
So we'll go with the grapple check. It'll be a strength from me, and you can use a... Because you're not trying to actually grapple him, it's to wriggle free, so you can use a dexterity check.
Okay, good.
Opposed.
Oh, shit.
How'd you do?
7 plus 6.
Okay.
Is that 13?
That's fine. He only rolled a 7 in the first place.
Good.
So you manage to basically step through. It's a close thing. You feel the arms kind of clasp around you, and you even see them lock, like the fingers lock into you. The arms go around you.
Could I try
and... As it falls...
Could I try and hit him?
Yeah, you certainly can. We can even say that that's how you manage to like break this happening. Because your dex check basically beats his strength on that one.
Okay, sweet.
The arms come grasping around you, and because they're so long, you have enough room to maneuver. It's like stepping in to beneath a long-armed opponent's reach. Mm. You're doing exactly the same thing. You have just enough moment to just take your axe and just ram it back it behind you to clip this creature in the face, and its arms kind of break free, and you can manage just keep fucking legging it. Dex check.
Oh no! What is Dexter? S plus 6? That's fucking terrible. 8.
8?
Yeah. 2.
Rolled 2.
I rolled a 2.
Brilliant. Literally one of the worst ones. Excellent. Love it. I absolutely love it. Do you have your inspiration pool tokens? Anything like that?
Oh, I've got follower tokens. I don't have one.
But not you.
No.
Okay. Sweet. Oh. That's fine. So, Ollie, I have to ask you a question here.
Yes.
So you're running, and you manage to break through the tree line. You see Cald and Atcha in front of you, like, ready to fucking rock and roll. Atcha is, like, swinging her club. She's ready to go. Cald is looking around, trying to figure out what's going on. You burst through the trees, sweat drenching your face, and behind you the forest explodes. You're running. You're about 20 foot away from them, and... you go down. Something trips you. You swear that maybe your foot was wrongly placed, but it almost felt like something reached out and grasped your foot and took it for that moment, and you lost your footing and hit the deck.
God.
I've got to ask you a question, Ollie, here.
Yeah.
Because they're going to catch you. They're going to catch you, and they'll take the craft. You know this. You can feel this in your foresight. You know you. The Kenning is telling you this.
I throw it at you.
Well,
as hard as I can.
The decision is this, Ollie. You throw it to Atcha.
Yeah.
And she runs forwards, takes it in her hand, and continues to run forwards. Drops it into your palm as you kind of step back up again, and she runs directly into the face of this oncoming horde, club swinging. As she goes past and drops it, she goes, "You run," and continues going down, and she is engaged, taking it on. We're going to use this basically like a save the hero or whatever it is.
Okay.
That ability.
Yeah. Oh.
But it's going to cost her a life.
No. Why are you killing off Atcha? Edward, I will never forgive you.
You step up.
Okay,
gripping the soil under your hands. Cal runs up. He's like, "Boss, we gotta go. This ain't looking tasty. This is looking very, very bad. We gotta run. I can pull us through if we need to. Come on."
I'm throwing my axe. I've got to hit one, at least one, just to help.
Sweet. Go for an axe throw.
Yeah. That's good. 18 plus 3.
That'll hit. Yep. That'll hit. Right. You're okay.
Fuck these guys.
Your axe strikes, you throw it, it strikes true. One of the long gangrily-esque ones was reaching over and you could see it poised to strike down upon Atcha, and the axe just thunks into its chest, its clavicle area,
yep.
And she turns, grabs it, and now stands with her great club swinging. She smashes it into the side of one of the smaller ones, grabs your axe, wrenches it free from the clavicle of the other one, strikes it into one of the larger ones. The last thing you see of Atcha as Cal takes you into maybe back through to the other realm, something, he takes your hand and pulls existence to the side. Atcha, you see, standing above or kind of grasping onto the front of one of the larger ones, one of those ones that assaulted your town, that killed her partner, that basically is your first interaction of the violence of these things, and she is pummeling it with her club. Blood just flailing in the sky. The moonlight catches the liquid as it goes through. The sort of blue-grey blood of these things is just drenching her. The axe broken at her side now. And she strikes true, strikes this one down before two of them simultaneously crack her both in the side of the head and the side of the body. And she is taken and hit either side. You can hear the bones break. The snap
Fuck.
Hits the air, breaks the night's sort of, even with the maelstrom that's going on and everything. That's the last thing you hear, and the last thing you see is you're taken through to whichever place Cal has taken you through to, just, and it kind of echoes.
I'm going to fucking kill that guy. I'm going to torture him. I'm so angry. In real life, not even in game, I'm fucking fuming. I'm so mad. Not only have I lost one follower because he's a fucking bitch, I've lost two followers because she was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That is where we're going to bring this episode to a close, ladies and gents. Yeah, Ollie, that could have gone real bad.
I hate you. So I hate you so much.
I'll tell you what would have happened if you'd continued.
Yeah, go on then.
They would have got your craft and Gogomog's release would have been easy, happened. You would have also lost a follower because that's how you would have, that's the only way you would have got near, Normanda would have got out of the situation. Neo had's always been in it for himself, realistically.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he has. He wanted all of the fucking parts.
That's all he wanted. And there was a way where he could take one to the others and then take all five of them. Because once they're used, they don't need them.
Yeah. Motherfucker. Did he direct us to that glowing blue thing in the gene world as well?
No, that was all...
Okay. I was going to say, if he had little fucker. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him so much.
Oh, it's
dead.
Good.
I'm so mad, Ed.
Well, look, that was a fun one. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was great.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening. We've been Starter Set. You've been our listeners. Hope you've enjoyed the show. Roll well, and we will see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.